Now, you were talking about the design ethic, and maybe kind of to go down a bit of another road, you know, similar to that, you know. You and I have known each other since about 92.
I've known you since you were a baby.
Yes. And
did he have less hair or more hair? Then?
I had more hair.
He had a lot of hair.
Like about 100 times what I have now. Maybe we ought to start a publication about that.
The hair. I think he had more hair than I have right now.
You start a thing on Ascots. We can start a thing on hair, right?
Yes. But with design ethic, which is very important to have a quality design. And in that time that you and I have known each other, a lot of publications have come and gone, both print, both digital, without naming names. We don't need to get into that. But why do you think, you know, some of these just, you know, go so fast? I mean, they come out, they look pretty good, but just doesn't seem to work. Can't keep it on the track. What's your thoughts?
I think print has the illusion of looking like it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work. A lot of work.
Maybe kind of like owning a restaurant.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody loves food. Yeah. And they think
a
it would
labor
be
of love.
Sure.
Yeah. You like food. And people love magazines and they love to read. And it looks like it would be something that would be fun, enjoyable to do. And once you get into it, it's a lot of work. And you have to have a passion for the things that you use to put it together.
Right.
You have to have a passion for technology.
Right.
You have to have a passion for design. You have to have a passion for graphic arts. You have to have a passion for written word. You have to have a passion for grammar. Mm-hmm. And you have to have a great team. And that's one of the things that Women's Lifestyle has always been blessed with is a great group of people that we work with, all the way from photographers and writers through the people that take care of our legal affairs.
Okay. So you kind of have to wear a lot of hats, but in addition to that, you have to be fairly business-minded and not just about, oh, this is going to be fun, this is going to be a vanity project.
Yeah, it's hands-on. It's way hands-on.
Right.
And as far as a publisher goes, I'm really hands-on.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sometimes writing articles. I'm not the best writer either. My thing is more of the design, but you'll find me making coffee and taking out the trash, too.
Okay.
Well, I would say, too, Paul, let's say you want to start a print publication today. You've there's only a couple of business models, really, to go off of. You can either charge people for the magazine. Well, you could charge for the magazine and charge, advertisers, and your revenue.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to get your revenue from somewhere. But if you start charging for the magazine, you can go around town to any bar and coffee shop, and there'll be a handful of magazines just like yours that are probably free. So you're going to say, okay, well, let's go with a free model.
Right.
We'll go out and find advertisers. Well, if you're writing about lifestyle, most of the advertisers who are going to want to be affiliated with you are bars, restaurants, car dealerships maybe. You've got salons. There's only so many of those who can afford to advertise in a print publication. So if you're not...
And we only have a certain size market
exactly.
here.
Exactly. Yeah. So if your magazine doesn't have a value that is really not available elsewhere, like to come into a market, the only way you're going to do it is like cannibalize the market and just say, we'll cut rates in half and we'll run a quarter page ad for half of what they're charging.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, like, you've cannibalized the market. You've created the situation where like nobody's going to be able to survive.
Right.
So that's really what I think why so many have come and gone. Same with digital ones too. I would love to say, you know, here's a perspective of abundance and there's an endless amount of money from which we can all pull from, but that's just not the case.
No, and it's very expensive.
The entry level is fairly low versus, you know, if you want to start a print publication, there's a fair amount of expense.
Oh, a lot. It's very, very expensive.
Yeah.
Paper is very, very expensive. One of the things we've always done is use recycled paper. And soy-based inks and those kinds of things to be in, you know.
That's very nice.
Good stewards for the environment. That sort of stuff. But it's still, you know, it feels good. It's really, really nice. But with some other type of publication, say you decide to do a glossy because you like that glossy, shiny look, you're going to spend a lot of money to just for printing alone.
And some of those that went fairly quickly during the 90s, those were really high-styled glossy publications. They lasted maybe about 6 months, and then they,
you saw them, and then you saw them, maybe they got a little smaller and smaller, and then they went away.
Well, how much a glossy magazine, you run 10,000. Anybody know how much that would cost?
Thousands.
I mean, yeah.
Thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah. I would imagine.
Yeah. And with Grand Rapids Magazine, I mean, they've been around for a long, long time. They have a really good formula for their front publication, apparently.
Sure.
And well, they're doing a really good job at it.
Yeah, so. And their advertising, too, also incorporates, like, those big sections of design living. Like, they'll have a home builder sponsor, like, a six-page expose of home design, or they'll do the golf ones.
Right.
I know those are, like, big money makers for them.
So yeah, I think with all the print, you have to have, like, special editions and that sort of thing and special focus. And because we have a lot of, I think we have a lot of options in this community, I think sometimes people can be, the businesses can be a little bit spoiled, and they can pick and choose.
Yeah.
And so they're going to pick which ones work best for them. I mean, I can brag us up and say you can probably open up the magazine and use just about any of our advertisers as a reference. You know, call them up, ask them what they think.
Sure.
And that's what you want. You know, you want to make, you want to have consistent people. You want them to be happy. You want the advertising to work for them. That's what it's for. And at the same time, you want your reader to appreciate those the ads that are in there. You want them to be inviting. You want them to look good.
Right.
You want them to be fit seamlessly in your publication. And I think over the years and kind of seeing some of the ones that have come and gone, they haven't, they struggled with that as far as actually having things that really fit into what it is that they do.
Well, one of the cool things, too, about the technology side for us is that we can tie in, we call them sponsors, not advertisers, but we can tie in our sponsors with tag-based ads. So we can actually embed in the ad, it will follow certain keywords.
Okay.
If you're Pioneer Construction and you want to be affiliated with any article that relates to construction or LEED certification or anything like that, we can put that into the ad so that every time somebody pulls up that article, Pioneer's ad will show up next.
Yeah, those are neat features. There's so many neat features. There's so many things coming along and evolving. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and we've also brought in, too, like, not to give away all our secrets, but we also do underwriting programs for us, which are, like, similar to NPR. You listen to NPR and it says, this segment on early education is brought to you by the Kauffman Foundation. So people or organizations can come in and underwrite certain issues in the community, be it early childhood education, or it could be transit and transportation. And they provide the funding for us to hire writers to go out and find stories about what's going on trends-wise with transportation, with schools, or these kinds of things. And then they don't get any editorial say in what we write about. It's just basically providing the underwriting that they think, here's an issue we think needs to be covered more in the community, and we'll provide the funding, rapid growth. You go out and do the work and cover it.
I think that's really cool because people want to be aligned with good editorial and, and interesting articles and positive, upbeat things. And I always kind of wonder when I'm looking at a website now, every now and then, look at some article about the guy who ate the other guy's face or something. But then you have these ads on the side for like restaurants or something, and you're just like, ew.
Well, and it's, there's a prime example that we use for presentations that is was MBD Bank, and they were advertising in the Detroit Free Press, and they took out almost a full page ad about their mortgage program, the special mortgage program that MBD had. And the only article that ran on that page next to their ad was an article about all these homes being foreclosed on in Detroit. It was this big long expose about this foreclosure issue going on. So here's like, hey, you know, here's a special mortgage program for you, and right next to it, like, what kind of affiliation does that provide in the reader's head? I know those articles need to be covered, you know,
but the placement,
the placement could have been thought out a little bit better.
Well, even the overall, you know, I've seen publications that did a holiday guide, for example, and then had the editorial that slammed shopping, and you know,
it was ripping on Black Friday. Next year was a Target.
It's just like you just go
special.
Somebody needs to go through that and make
it has to match up.
So, how do you feel with each of your publications that social media has been helpful, and how does it influence what you focus on and, you know, present as far as columns and what you write about?
Well, I tell you, I got into social media. They had to drag me in kicking and screaming. They had to pull me into it when I, you know, it was like, you know, and it was like one of those things. I'm one of those people that try everything. Like, I was one of the Foursquare users. We have a MySpace page out there somewhere.
It's
probably going to exist forever.
I'm still on there just in case it becomes popular.
You want to have a foothold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've done the Google this and that and the other. I think one
Google
of the
Google Plus, the graveyard,
yeah,
Graveyard Plus. No.
Yeah, I signed up for Twitter and mostly just watched everybody else's feed.
Sure.
Hardly ever tweeted anything. But people kept coming back to me, Facebook, Facebook, Facebook. So it's like, okay, well, the first thing I did, I thought, okay, well, who am I going to ask about Facebook? I called you, Paul.
Uh-oh.
You may not even remember that, but I said, hey, Paul, I'm thinking about doing this Facebook thing. Give me some tips. You know, what should I look at? What should I focus on? You know, what would be some ideas, you know, to think about and setting up a page? And so, you know, we kind of talked about that for a while, and I took the parts of that that I thought fit us the best and went, okay, this is what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we actually have a social media plan.
Okay.
Daily, weekly, sometimes monthly, that we utilize to stay in touch with people. I think for us, it's just part of the engagement with the audience. It's part of the engagement with the community. And it's very relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a personality of who we are,
sure,
you know, as a publication. If you take a magazine and it has a personality, that's what you see with Facebook for us.
But you're making your readers more a part of the experiences before you didn't have that opportunity to engage with them on that level.
Right. It's almost like you can have a meeting with your readers every day all the time. And so
if you have the time.
Yeah, if you have the time. But you can see, you know, you can put things out there. You can find out what their interests are.
Right.
You can see what articles they find interesting. You can one of the things that someone recently said to me is, please keep promoting our community the way that you do.
Okay.
And sometimes it's not necessarily relevant to something that's in the magazine per se. I try to make it like that way as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's just like, hey, we just found out that Bobby Flay came to Grand Rapids and he's going to be doing a 3 days to open show, and John Russo's going to be on the show, and you know, which kind of diced in magazine because he's one of our partners.
So you're
partners,
getting a heads up on those things to the discussion that people are having out there.
Yeah. Sometimes it's inspiring quotes. We try to make it a point to every day post something that's upbeat and inspiring, which is part of our personality too, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah.